One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time is A Christmas Story. It's a story about a little boy, Ralphie is his name, who wants a BB gun for Christmas. Not just any BB gun, a very specific BB gun. He tries everything to drop hints to his parents that he wants this specific BB gun. Well, Christmas morning comes and he doesn't see the BB gun under the tree. He thinks all is lost and it's the worst Christmas ever. But all of a sudden, his dad sees something tucked behind the couch. And there it is. The official Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing that sells time. It was all his. He couldn't wait to try it out. Still dressed in his pajamas, but at least with his snow boots on, he heads outside to tackle the fiercest outlaw of the West. Just his name evoked fear throughout the territory. His name, Black Bart. Well, if you've seen the movie, you already know what happens next. If you haven't seen the movie, A Christmas Story, I encourage you to do so. Well, Black Bart was a real outlaw, a professional thief. He terrorized the Wells Fargo Stagecoach line from 1875 to 1883. During his reign of terror, he stole hundreds of thousands of dollars. No victim ever saw him. No artist ever sketched his face. And no sheriff ever tracked his trail. Well, our gospel writer, John, introduces us tonight to another Black Bart. If you've ever felt shame or disgrace, it was his whisper in your ear that crushed your heart. If you've ever felt alone or abandoned, it was all going according to his plan. If you've ever felt useless and no good, it was his accusing finger in your face. He doesn't just want your money. This Black Bart comes to kill, to steal, destroy everything. What's his name? Guilt. I don't believe there's anyone on this planet who hasn't known guilt or felt that sinking feeling or had this thought, you're worthless. What sucked you under? A one-night stand? A fight with your spouse, maybe taking something that wasn't yours. Or maybe your guilt isn't the result of a moment, but maybe a season. Maybe you failed as a parent. You blew it in your career, squandered your youth or your money, or maybe it was both. The result? Guilt. We're in a series called Witnesses to Christ. Today we meet Peter. Peter is in the courtyard of a high priest named Caiaphas. In that courtyard, we see guilt. Peter's guilt. Our own guilt. Beyond the courtyard, we see grace. Grace for Peter. Grace for us. To get some context, let's rewind the movie. Go back to Gethsemane, where we hear the claim. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus and Peter had been through a lot together. 3 years earlier, Jesus was walking on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus sees Peter fishing with his brother Andrew and calls them to follow. I will make you fishers of men. One day, about a year later, Peter follows Jesus out of the Sea of Galilee during a large storm. Peter walks on the water, but then he begins to sink. Jesus immediately reaches out his hand, takes hold of Peter, and saves him. At one point, Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." At another point, Jesus takes Peter, along with James and John, to see his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Then Jesus invites the same trio to witness his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. No wonder Peter makes the claim, "I will lay down my life for you." But haven't we all made that same claim? When we were confirmed, we heard the pastor say these words, "Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, even to death?" And we said, "I do." "Will you take this man to be your wedded husband?" And you women said, "I do." "Will you take this woman to be your wedded wife?" And we men said, "I do." That's what we claim. The claim. That's the easy part. And as the events in the courtyard unfold, it's like watching cracks in a house's foundation slowly spread. A servant girl comes up to Peter and says, "You also are one of this man's disciples, aren't you?" He said, "I am not." The first crack, small and not so unsettling. Peter then stands by the fire, keeping warm. Some bystanders said to him, "You also are not one of the disciples, aren't you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." The second crack, bigger, slightly unnerving. You know, the problem is when there are enough cracks, the house collapses. Always. And here it is. One of Malchus's relatives spots Peter and says, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Let those three words sink in. A rooster crowed. The result? Guilt. For us, the collapse happens when we say, "Just one more," you fill in the blank. "Just one more drink," "Just one more lie," "Just one more fling," "Just one more look." Crack, crack, crack. But one more leads to one more, and just one more. And when there are enough cracks, there's always the collapse. Always. Then what? Then enters the G word. What's the G word? Guilt. I have to admit, I'm not a huge fan of leftovers. And it really depends on what they are. Some things are really better the second and third day. But there's only so much turkey a person can eat, am I right? Especially after Thanksgiving. Well, don't get me wrong, I love a good turkey sandwich. And mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing, well, I can eat those. Turkey soup is fine. But turkey after the third or fourth day is just too much. No turkey hot dish, turkey omelets, turkey roll-ups, turkey whatever. Enough is enough. Peter, after the rooster crowed, felt like a leftover, a has-been, a left-out, rejected, forgotten, way in the back of the refrigerator. That's what guilt does to us. Guilt turns us into miserable, weary, angry, stressed out people. Who loves leftovers? God does. And God gives us grace, not gravy, grace. How does that happen? Well, first I want to bring you attention to something that this series brought my attention to. In the gospel reading in verse 18, during Peter's second denial, the setting is at a charcoal fire. Well, if you fast forward to John chapter 21, where Jesus asks Peter if Peter loves him, the setting is on a beach. Jesus had just made the fishermen a breakfast of fish on a charcoal fire. In his gospel, John mentions the charcoal fire twice to help us connect those two accounts. Jesus' reinstatement of Peter in chapter 21 is connected to Peter's denial of Jesus in our gospel reading. Jesus asked the question three times, once for every time Peter has denied his Lord. And each time Peter confesses, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Peter confessed his guilt, confessed that what he had said earlier was a lie. What gave him the faith to do that? Well, while Peter was denying Jesus, Jesus was suffering for Peter. Jesus didn't wait until we get it all together to save us. Jesus didn't wait until we overcome our temptations and fight our demons and conquer our sin. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5. In the courtyard of our life, we see guilt. Beyond our courtyard, at the cross, we see grace. And what does grace mean to us? Grace means a comeback. Who preaches the sermon on Pentecost? Peter does. Whose sermon converts 3,000 people? Peter's. Who writes two books in the New Testament? Peter does. We need to listen to this closely. Comebacks don't depend on how much we love Jesus. Comebacks depend on how much Jesus loves us. Comebacks don't depend on what we do for Jesus. Comebacks depend on what Jesus does for us. Comebacks don't depend on giving our life for Jesus. Comebacks depend on Jesus giving his life for ours. Remember Black Bart from our movie? In real life, he was really nothing to be afraid of. When the authorities finally tracked him down, they didn't find a bloodthirsty bandit. They found a mild-tempered businessman from Decatur, Illinois. The man pictured storming through the Wild West on his horse was so afraid of riding horses that he rode around on a horse-drawn buggy. Black Bart's name was Charles Bowles, the bandit who never once fired a bullet because he never once loaded his gun. We need to see guilt for what guilt really is. A deadly monster? You bet. A painful feeling that does great harm? Yeah, no doubt. The tormentor of our souls? Yeah. But you can also count on this. Guilt is a defeated enemy who has no bullets left in his gun. What's that mean for us? Our movie isn't over when Jesus is in it. Isn't that great? We can all come back from guilt. How? The best G word ever. Grace. Amen.